Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast, brought to you from the studios of CBS Interactive. I'm Tim Burrows. Joining me as usual, Mumbrella Deputy Editor Camille Alicorn.
Hello.
And Scott Rohde.
Hi, Tim.
Of PR agency House Party. Welcome along. This week, Brian, the social media guru.
How hashtag AskABC exploded on Twitter.
In TV, Seven's Australia's Got Talent slips, Ten's Modern Family knocks MasterChef off number one, and The X Factor comes back to Australia.
Would you want your face on a tampon packet? Moxie thinks so.
The story of Hungry Beast's viral hit.
How to market property as the ultimate toy.
And out with the new and in with the old, brands revamp with a little bit of nostalgia.
Social media. What is it?
Nobody knows. Except for me, I'm Brian, and I'm a social media guru. I follow over 20,000 people on Twitter. Could 20,000 people be wrong? So, if your business needs a social media, call me. I'm Brian. Do you want a Facebook? 1995, I'll get you a Facebook. Foursquare? You call me, tell me where you are, and I'll foursquare it for you. I write in all caps, so you know I'm serious. I am not yelling all the time. Reddit, I'd be Bebo, Finger Fling, Beep Bop, iPork, Beto. I know all these words. I'll tell you which words you can say to make you sound like me. Brian. Web 2.0. Engagement. Tweeple. Community. Webinar. Maverick. No one knows how to handle your customers like a total stranger working for $6 an hour. I'm Brian, your social media guru. Call me.
Now, Tim, Scott, does Brian remind you of anyone you happen to know at all?
I'll let you answer that first, Scott.
There's a few people I've met that are a bit like that, but obviously not wanting to name names. I think that would be cruel. I even wrote on Mumbrella that there's a couple who this reminds me of who sell certain things on Twitter and things like that, and teaching people how to use Twitter and social media and all that kind of stuff. And if you drop onto their site, then yeah, it's like a train wreck sometimes.
Primary colours, many,
many videos in the background colours. Of fish swimming by when they're speaking, this kind of stuff. It's just. I'm not going to see who it is.
I've not seen that.
I'll send you the link.
Tell me. Is it someone in Australia?
Yes.
Is it somebody that everyone in this room would have heard of?
I'm not sure, maybe. I'll send you the link anyway.
Oh, well, I will look forward to seeing it. It's probably worth explaining what that clip was as well. So effectively, this was a spoof created by Clip Communications.
Yep, Ken McKay.
PR agency. Quite an interesting way of marketing your agency, I guess.
I think Kim's very forward thinking. She does a lot of good things. I mean, she hired Scotty Asseri to come over for a year. Scotty's got an office job, and she got him to come up to Australia and work there. You know, she's got a good mind for stunts to promote the business.
And we should probably point out that video was meant ironically.
Yes, it was. And you know, Kim runs social media 101 classes, which I've taken part in. You know, she's got her head screwed on. The company's grown at such an alarming rate. It's, you know, it's gone really well.
Now, Camille, you're the sensible head of the podcast. Have you met many social media gurus?
Oh, so many. So many to look up to, and, you know, to you guys, obviously. I mean, you're my gurus.
Why?
That's all I can say. Now, this week, the ABC's new online investigation unit got more than it bargained for on Twitter, inviting the public to ask the burning questions they want investigated. Hashtag AskABC started scrolling over at a rate of knots with some very funny results. Tim, unwanted attention for ABC Investigates?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this, actually. It'll be interesting to see what Scott thinks as well on this one, because to me, it was certainly the law of unintended consequences. So the idea is ABC Investigates, so the Investigations Unit, is a sort of serious investment by the ABC in doing serious research. And it's been going...
The ABC is very serious.
Well, it is very serious.
Serious news.
But yeah, but certainly there are not many organisations which, you know, when they choose to put investment in a particular area, they do. So the online investigations unit, they had one of their first big investigations came out this week, and time to coincide with that, they just also launched themselves onto Twitter, the little Twitter profile. And somehow it very quickly became a meme, this idea of ask the ABC anything and they'll investigate. So some of the first ones that came in were, dear ABC investigate, where did I come from? Dear ABC investigate, can you find my keys? Why do birds suddenly appear? Is there enough fibre in my diet?
Lots of song lines.
Yeah, swing it, shake it, move it, make it. Who do you think you are? Was another question.
Yeah, the only one I found a bit weird was when somebody asked who started First World War. I mean, that's what Wikipedia is for. Come on.
Well, absolutely. Everyone knows it was Archduke Ferdinand.
And the Black Hand Gang.
I'd forgotten that bit. Yeah. Who let the dogs out? Who? Etc. What do you think, Scott? Just juvenile stupidness, or
absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes the base premise of Twitter is juvenile stupidness, but it works really well because they got what, 1,000 followers in the first day.
People, how do you reckon it actually helps the ABC brand?
Well, I think
it's a bit of a joke.
For a start, it lets people know about it. A lot of people might not have known about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, alerts them to the fact that it's happening.
Yeah. One point I'd make actually is that, regardless of what happens now, 3 or 4 days ago they had no followers, now they have 1,200 followers.
Yeah.
And they can use that to talk to them about anything they want to in the future.
And then those people can retweet anything and, you know, can expand the user base again and again. And, you know, if it becomes a funny meme that everybody uses, then, you know, that's great for them. It helps them build the brand a little bit more.
Now, in television this week, there was more good news for 10. Not only was Modern Family's debut a surprise hit, I guess surprise hit, but it beat MasterChef. Come on, you saw the programme. What did you think of it?
Modern Family, I actually quite enjoyed it. It's a half-hour slot. It's a satire. It's very much in a similar vein to The Office. The
satire or sitcom, or is it slightly smarter than that?
No, I would call it satirical, not mockumentary in the same vein as The Office, even though I just said it was quite similar, but the very American style of humour, the very dry American style of humour is quite similar. So I think, you know, it was actually the highest rating show of the night, and it's all to do with dysfunctional families and families of today, how they're no longer, you know, the Brady Bunch, and so just following their travails and what they're doing.
I wonder whether one of the reasons it got such big reach was purely because it covered so many different demographics, so many different age groups, so that everybody saw themselves in there potentially somewhere.
What, really? Who are you, Tim?
Well, I would. I think I thought of myself as the elderly patriarch.
What do you mean, Ed O'Neill, isn't it? Guy played and Married with Children. That's in it. Isn't his wife like 30 years younger than him in the show?
Exactly, and that's one of the things that
you connected
this,
with. I
you've
get
got
that.
This May to September.
In the
is it May to November? May to September? What does it say? May to December May romance to December, or May to September?
September,
don't bluff, you're bluffing.
Just calling it, I don't know. I've never heard the expression before in my life and making crap
but
up.
But back to the point. It actually, well, you're right, because Modern Family was the most popular show among the very advertiser-friendly demographics of 16 to 39s, 18 to 49s, and 25 to 54s.
But also the first time that a 10 show on the same channel has done better than MasterChef.
Yeah,
well.
The first time in the series. So that was a bit of a surprise. Not by much. And obviously, you know, this, I predict that it'll go down from the 1.55 for the opening series to settle at, I don't know, 1 million or 1.1. But it was pretty similar to MasterChef, which was about 1.54. What came in third was NCIS, another big show for 10. So it was just a big, big night for 10 all around, top three.
One small blow for Law and Order's on 10, isn't it?
Yeah.
The original series of Law and Order got cancelled in the US.
I was about to say that. I said maybe next week we should discuss what big shows are going to come out of the US this season. Maybe get some bets going about what was going to come over here.
Yes, they've just been doing the upfronts, actually.
Yeah, because Flash Forward just got canned.
Did it?
Yeah.
That was after two series in the US?
One series.
Or, right.
Yeah, only made 22 episodes, I think. Heroes got canned.
After two series?
Yeah, no, five series.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm only on the second
one. I left the country when it was all launching. Did it pretty much have a slightly strong start and then died?
It peaked about halfway through season two and then it plummeted through the Earth's core of terrible storylines.
Through the Earth's core?
It's really bad.
That sounds like quite a good plot development.
No, really, it's terrible. But no, I think it'd be good to try and get people seeing what because I think there was about 50 shows announced in total through all the networks in the US, and some of them sound really. There's one about a family who crashed in the Amazon, and they get superpowers, and it's called Not an Ordinary Family or something like that. It just sounds terrible.
Speaking of new shows, good segue. A overseas franchise, Simon Cowell, I believe. The X Factor is returning to screens, Australian screens, this time on Channel 7.
Yes.
You might recall a few years ago, it was on 10 and it just bombed down to the Earth's core. And now they're bringing it back. Because basically, I was in London last year and I got into it. And the X Factor is, it's the Australian Idol of the UK when Australian Idol first launched, and it was really exciting.
Well, it kind of sprang out because Pop Idol came first in the UK,
yeah,
and that had Simon Cowell on, and that made Simon Cowell a household name as the nasty British judge. Mm. Not a surprise, he was British, obviously, he was Britain. But he then created the X Factor format as well, and that sort of has been the making of, you know, his sort of, he made a lot of money from it too, but carried on being a judge over in the US.
In American Idol.
Idol.
Yeah.
But I understand that he's going to be sort of stepping back from some of his duties to put his focus on launching The X Factor in the US as well.
Okay.
And it's already in something like 20 other franchises.
Camille, if you were to go on The X Factor, what would your talent be?
Oh, my talent?
Yeah.
You'll have to come back to me on that one.
Maybe some form of journalism.
Juggling two balls, I think, will have to be my talent.
Enough.
What would be your talent? Jumping off roofs in a Superman costume?
No. I don't know what my talent would be. I've not thought about it yet, but good to know yours is juggling
balls. Vaguely back on the subject. Do you think there's actually room for another talent show on
Honestly,
Australian television?
Yeah, I think the morons will like it.
By the morons, is that your disparaging terminology for middle Australia?
I'm just so fed up with the amount of talent shows because they're cheap to make, throw people on, get them mocked and then get them off. I just can't stand them. It's personal preference, can't stand them.
I think the disparaging talk of morons as middle Australia as morons, and you as a communicator who has to advise brands on reaching these people, is that the disparaging view you have of the Australian public?
Did I say that? I said morons, people like those shows. That's all I said.
That's your
I have a real issue with the fact that people are obsessed with these shows when they're, I'd watch something better, people. Come on.
What's your recommendation,
Well,
Scott?
Let's look at the top 20, shall we? And I'll tell you.
Well, I tell you what, you're a program controller. Mm-hmm. You've got a big hole on Wednesday night.
Yep.
You've got 2 hours to fill between 7:30 and 9:30, and you need 1.5 million people. What's your show going to be?
I'd have a look at what's coming out in the US or what's in the UK and probably get some from there. But what I wouldn't do...
What I wouldn't do
is create another talent show where people get put on, they're greeting their faces off, they're Scottish word for crying.
It's also finding
some sort of
talent.
Horrific thing involving cheese grates.
No. It's a Scottish word for crying. Sorry, I forget about that. I just think there's so many of them on.
I guess what, more seriously though, what it does potentially mean is for 10, they were resting Australian Idol because that had sort of faded a bit in the ratings. But now that 7 have nipped in there with X Factor as well, which puts both Australia's Got Talent and X Factor on 7, does it leave room for 10?
Doesn't seem so, no. And they are resting Idol this year, from what I gather. No, they've missed the boat.
So do you think we won't see Idol back again?
More than likely not, because of the tired format, and X Factor is quite a different format.
Scott, do you think we'll see Idol back again?
Hopefully not.
Now, feminine hygiene brand Moxie has come up with a slightly strange, to say the least, social media campaign. Via Facebook, it's asked its consumers to send a profile photo of themselves, which, along with 600 others, will feature on the Moxie tampon tins. Tim, a good idea?
This is one that's somewhat split both our audience and people talking about it on Twitter as well. The comment stream on Twitter is like, why would I want my image on a tin, you know, associating me with feminine hygiene products? But other people are saying, you know, for some people it's a big hit. It kind of ties in with the brand's own values. And people making the point that looking at the Facebook group, it looks like all of the slots have already been filled.
It has been all filled. Sadly, I didn't get in time.
Oh, that's a shame. I love the quote from Mia Klitsis, saying that social media has given us the opportunity to get closer to our customers. I mean, I'm sorry.
You've got to
think about your words depending what product you're selling. That's all I'm going to say here.
Well, for me, I'm probably in the camp of, for God's sake, I wouldn't want my face on a tampon tin, much less seeing my friends' faces on a tampon tin, you know, at that time of the month. That's just the last thing I'd want to do. So for me, it doesn't really work. And also, the main thing about Moxie when it launched is it was its point of difference was its packaging. It's very kind of retro-esque, 1940s, nice tin packaging, and it looks quite pretty compared to the ones that are out there in cardboard boxes.
And it's an interesting little independent brand as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's done quite well for itself. They have expanded into the UK and US. I don't know how well they're doing, but obviously, you know, they're still there and they're still plugging away. And they're pretty much Kotex by You is trying to do the same thing with the launch last year of Platinum. They also launched their range of Platinum, slightly older women, as opposed to the younger ones, the Beaver audience. So they're both playing in that field, but I think that with Moxie playing with their packaging, it's losing its point of difference by moving away from its packaging to having these pictures of Facebook profiles on it. So that's my point of view.
On Pandora, 10 years after the defeat of the Sky People.
Jake Jr., come over here.
The balance of nature has been restored.
Did you hear something?
But Jake Sully is about to make a discovery that will change his life forever.
Jake, I am your father.
This summer,
run, Forrest, run!
James Cameron presents a totally...
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Completely...
Expelliarmus!
Original screenplay.
I'm your Gwen Mourier.
In one epic adventure.
Will you take the blue pill? Or will you take the red pill?
I will take the ring.
That will live with you forever.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer. You are count the headlights on.
An experience unlike any other.
They may take our lives.
Show me the money.
But they'll never take our freedom.
Ah! Avatar 2. My Big Fat Pandora versus the Deathly Hallows striking back at Muriel's lethal weapon. Reloaded.
Now, in a guest posting on Mumbrella this week, Lewis Hobbs and Mark Fennell gave us the inside story on Hungry Beast's viral hit Avatar 2, which is that clip that we've just played. So, you know, just quite a funny little spoof on, you know, how Avatar 2 might just be. At the time we wrote about it because we kind of noticed that on the ABC, you know, you might only have 500,000 viewers for Hungry Beast, but it's actually had millions and millions of views across the world since. I think we're up to 2 or 3 million already. Scott, is this a future of television, do you think? That, you know, you can create something which actually maybe has global appeal but a kind of niche local audience?
I don't see why not. Don't know what happened to my voice here. I think, look, I watched this when it, I think it was in the second day it came out, and I thought it was, you know, really funny. And I actually found it in the UK from one of the people I speak to in the UK sent it to me. So it'd obviously gone around the world by that point within 24 hours. So I think it's a great way of building your brand that little bit. And, you know, these guys done a good job with that. I mean, there was a little bit of production behind it, which might have cost a little bit, which you're... average guy in the street probably wouldn't have the money to do, but no, good on them. That's what I see.
Well, I suppose that's almost the thing, isn't it? Because what it kind of needs is the resource that the ABC can offer.
Yeah.
Or the production company that was behind it, anyway. There were some great.
Terribly sorry for Tim shuffling all his papers, people.
Yes, well, I'm just reading my. I'm checking my notes.
Everything's off the cuff. That was just we're just chopping papers.
That's super
for,
spontaneous. Yeah, no, I was actually looking for the piece that Lewis and Mark wrote for us. Actually, yeah, it's worth seeking out on mumbrella.com.au. Go to our opinion section and look at the story. How Hungry Beast spawned a viral hit, rather. They talk about some of the jokes that nearly made it and some of the jokes that didn't. And also make the point that they've had a couple of other sort of similar viral pieces as well.
I've actually seen them. They're quite funny. There's one of of a scenario of if Lady Gaga wasn't a pop star. So you see her walking around in normal life in her crazy outfits. So she's going to the laundromat. Well, she doesn't put clothes in the washing machine. Obviously, she puts in empty cans of Coke and CD cases and random stuff.
Oh, I didn't realize it was the same guy. So I suppose that's the thing about it. I didn't connect them two together. Because obviously the version I've seen is edited or something like that, so you don't really get it, it's the same guys.
Yeah, and obviously it's a big team of, what, 6, 7, I think there were maybe even, you know, 8 or 9 people ended up sort of in front of camera at various points on Hungry Beast. I also like they talk about some of the feedback they get from YouTube, comments that vary from the suggestion that they need to be stabbed in the face, through to people who found robbed because they were expecting the real Avatar 2 trailer. But probably one of the best compliments is, "This is awesome. You guys should totally write the next scary movie."
Oh, I think anything on YouTube should always go through that XKCD filter where somebody has to... it says, once you type something to YouTube, take a second, read back what you've just written, realise you're a douche, and then don't post it.
And what does XKCD stand for?
XKCD, it's the comedy website. It's a comedy website, just does little sketches.
I'll take a look, never seen it.
Say hello to the ultimate toy. For a mere $12 million, you can relive your childhood memories playing Forms, Tim and Scott, only this time it's real. In an unorthodox digital marketing campaign, Sydney agency Relativity is using social media to market and sell the 2,000 square kilometer station as a millionaire's plaything. Tim Scott, good PR?
You want to take this one first?
Yeah, I think it's good PR, but I don't know if you're going to reach your target audience, which is somebody who's got 12 million to play around with.
12 million being, I think it's going to go for auction in mid-June, so I guess that's just the target, just to
I think more so they're using social media as a staging ground to get mainstream media to then push it out. You know, that's more what it's like. It's a traditional PR campaign with a stunt at the front end of it, and you're using social media as a stunt.
Mm. Yeah, I think, in all honesty, I think exactly that tactic has worked. Earlier this week, we wrote about it and then had a phone call from the ABC in Alice Springs. Funny enough, the presenter is called Alice as well, which amused me slightly.
Was her name Springs?
Well, it wasn't, but the producer's name was Alison, and it was Alison and Alice in Alice Springs. Anyway, the point is, it was an interview about this ultimate toy, so we spent a good 5 or 10 minutes talking about how would this be the ultimate toy. And that's local to where the cattle station is. So effectively, it was 10 minutes talking about the product on the ABC, which you could never reach through advertising. Ooh. So to me, that seemed like pretty good PR.
No, likewise, but I think $12 million worth of Lego would have been better.
The old is now the new. Recently, we've seen a number of brands reusing their old advertising, and for some it seems to be working. Now, Camille, this is kind of a trend that you spotted and wrote about this week. It's probably worth flagging up a few of the old advertising faces we're seeing making a return.
Yeah, the most recent one was the Smith's lovable furry alien, the Gobbledoc, on TV. We haven't seen him since the 1990s. He's a bit of a cutie. He's quite well known, and his one word is chippy. So, I know, I can't say it the way he says it, actually.
I've never seen it.
Chippy! Something like that. And then we also saw...
That's going to be my new phone ringtone.
We also saw Pantene's brand ambassador, Rachel Hunter, returning with her old tagline, "It won't happen overnight, but it will happen." I'm not saying it in her words.
Oh, go on, give it a go.
I'm so not.
Someone told me if you asked an Australian how it sounded, they would be able to recite it back.
What?
They said it was such a kind of iconic phrase.
It is well known.
And they would do it in a New Zealand accent.
No, I can't do New Zealand.
So what is the line, though?
It's, "It won't happen overnight, but it will happen."
Brilliant.
It's not very New Zealand. That was first used in 1992, and she comes back 18 years down the track, and she looks the same.
And I can think of others as well, you know, that have sort of made recent or relatively recent returns. You know, we've seen... Golden Gay Time, those ads have come back. They seem to come back each now ironic, you can't have a gay time on your own, seems to come out most Mardi Gras.
And do you know what? It was lost on me because I was so used to the brand, whereas tourists have actually, it was on the Ellen show, Ellen DeGeneres show in the US, and they thought it was hilarious. And I was like, oh, hang on a minute, that is kind of funny.
It's like when you first come to Australia and you realise there's a product called NADS and you go, ooh.
Or coon cheese.
Yeah, they're all those ones.
Yeah. Mm. Or another, going back to the nostalgia thing, of course, Louis the Fly came back last year as well.
Oh,
you know, for the fly spray, yes.
Yeah, he's always coming back, though, just in different iterations. We did see the spray and wipe Ajax frantic housewife, played by Paula Duncan. She's quite well known through the years as in several Australian series. And that was about 22 years ago when the first advent to air. So I guess, you know, we are seeing, and this is not a new trend, this is not a new occurrence for brands and marketers to kind of delve back into, you know, past successes and using it in their new ad campaigns. I think it just depends on the category, though.
You almost go the opposite way, don't you? A new ad agency comes in and they want to throw everything out and start again and prove how clever they are. So sometimes, you know, that heritage that's been built up is chucked out unnecessarily.
Yeah, that's true. And then the brand becomes, it loses its identity, I suppose, and there's no continuity in the brand theme, and that's the risk. But I think in terms of snack food brands, it does seem to work, this kind of nostalgia, because think of yourself when you're a kid, and you know, everyone loves sweets and chocolates and ice cream back then. So, you know, going back to those old ads, it's probably fine, but other categories, probably not so much. What do you reckon, Scott?
No, I think you're right. I think the consumer goods is the way to go for reprising those kind of things, but yeah, I can imagine like the bigger like TV brands or you know, electronic brands bringing back things like that, because they never really had anything in the first place to connect them, whereas consumer goods have always had the little quirks about them to try and sell something. In which case, yeah, bring them back, see what happens. People like them, go for it.
We've got to go. Thank you very much to my co-hosts Camille Alacon.
Thank you.
And Scott Rohde.
Thank you.
And to CBS Interactive for use of their studio. Production was by Georgina Pearson. That was the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Toodlepip.
So they're both playing in that field, but I think that with Moxie playing with their packaging, it's
Did you say the Young Beavers?
No, she was referring to the beaver ad.
It's losing its point of difference, basically. No, wait,
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 no,
wait,
no, wait, 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 no.